Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
With Turn the Page podcast, Syosset Public Library. And our guests today are...
Sure, I'm Megan Arcuri. I am an author, and I also am the vice president of the Horror Writers Association. And I am here with...
I'm Carol Geisander. I am a writer and editor of science fiction and horror and other creepy, interesting things. And I'm also the co-coordinator of the New York chapter of HWA, Horror Writers Association.
So it's fun to have both of you here, especially during these cold months, because I'm curious. So tell us about the HWA. I know in general, people consider horror a Halloween thing.
Yeah, well, horror is an all year round thing.
Agreed.
I think we can all relate to that. Specifically, the Horror Writers Association is a nonprofit organization of writers and also publishing professionals around the world dedicated to promoting dark literature and the interests of those who write it. And we have just about 1,800 members, which is about a 200 person increase from what we had last year. So we're really seeing some nice growth recently. One of the things I'd love to talk about is how or who is allowed to be a member. As the vice president, one of my roles is to run the Twitter account. And I often see people kind of, you know, bemoaning the fact that, oh, I don't have enough sales. I'd love to be a member of the HWA, but I can't do it because I haven't made a professional sale or any sales or anything like that. And I'm always like, no, you can join. You can totally join because we have five levels of membership. And the first level is called the supporting membership. And really that's just for anybody who is a fan of horror. So you don't have to have a professional sale. You don't have to have, you know, a non-professional sale. You don't have to have anything written. You can either just simply enjoy horror in the horror writing community, or you can be just at the beginning of your career, because there are a lot of things that the HWA can offer. We do also have a next level it's called the associate level. And that is not a professional level either. That's maybe somebody who's had a couple of non-professional rate sales, and would also, you know, want to be a member too. And then of course we have active members who are the professional rates. But in addition to that, let's say you're not a writer at all, but you're a librarian or you're an editor or a publisher, you can join as well. Or if you're an academic person, you know, you are a professor, you teach this kind of thing, there's a level for you as well. So please consider joining if you'd like. Just check out our website. It's horror.org. And there are a lot of benefits to being a member. One of the big ones, I think, is our mentor program. So if you are somebody who hasn't had a lot of experience with either writing or selling your stories, because selling your stories is a whole other different world than actually writing it, joining our mentor program is super helpful. There are a lot of really great people, really great mentors with a lot of knowledge who want to work with you and share that knowledge with you. We also have a number of scholarships and grants, which actually are for members and non-members alike. For example, we just started the diversity grants this year, and we awarded six of those, and it was really successful. They had a ton of really great applicants. They hated only being able to choose six, but it was really great. We were just happy to add that to our lineup of scholarships and grants. And then, you know, there are other things like, you know, discounts for programs like Horror University, which is a new thing that we've kind of started online, which we offer workshops for people that are led by some of the best in the business, like Jonathan Mayberry, Lisa Morton, Linda Addison, who's going to be reading with us when we do this program for you guys. And you know, you can, it was the Horror University is like, it's their online workshops, and with Zoom, it's been great because everybody's used to using it. So yeah, you just log on for 1.5-2 hours and just learn from the best. So, and you know, as a member, you would get a discount, and there are various other things I could go on and pour you to tears, but there, I'm definitely an advocate. It's a great way to meet people. It's a great way to network. I've met so many wonderful, helpful people. And you would, I mean, horror writers are truly some of the kindest, funniest, most generous people I have met. And I, you know, having been part of the Horror Writers Association has really, you know, allowed me to meet more and more people like that. So I hope people can join us if they would like to.
You know, I agree. I came to one of the horror readings that the HWA New York chapter did in New York City 3-4 years ago. And everybody was so friendly and so helpful and so nice. And the readings were fun. I thought, well, you know, I don't really write horror. Well, turns out I do, but there you go. But, you know, I've been involved with a number of different writing communities, and all writers are interesting to me and fun, but the horror writing community and the HWA in particular is friendly and supportive. And I personally think it's because we get some of those demons out of our head and onto the paper or onto the screen, and they don't have to stay and fester inside. So it's a friendly, you know, group of people. And I've been doing just what Megan said. I started out as, you know, one of the very low levels. I've been working my way up as I sell more things, which is fun and a little bit of incentive. And really the only difference between being an active member and any of the other members, active members can do the final votes on the Bram Stoker Awards, but the other levels can do everything up until the final voting. So, you know, yeah, otherwise I can do anything in HWA, you know, until I become a full active member.
How did you both get into horror? And tell me a little bit about why women in horror is so important.
Well, let me talk about the Women in Horror first, and then we'll talk about how the two of us got there. The Women in Horror Month organization, it's a grassroots organization that's been going on for over a decade. And the idea is to take 1 month and specifically pay attention to women who do these really fascinating creative things in horror, whether it's writing books and short stories, whether it's writing scripts, screenplays, whether it's acting, whether it's producing, making films, all of the things that go on, the artwork as well. We know in our society that many times people assume that men are the ones with the power, the ones who do things, but women are extremely creative and have an interesting, fascinating voice that's worth listening to and worth paying attention to. And that's the whole point of the month. There's quite a few organization activities and readings and focus things, interviews, book specials. There's lists of books out there that you can go read if you're interested. And that's one of the things we'll talk about when we get to the bigger event that we're doing. Yes. On the 25th. Yeah.
How did you get into horror? When did you start consuming horror and such?
I think Carol kind of touched on it a little bit. I have not always been a horror writer. I haven't always been a writer for that matter. I used to be a math teacher. And then when I got pregnant, we decided I'd stay home and raise the kids. And you know, sometimes that's a very isolating thing. And so I would just spend a lot of time reading, and I read. And I read a lot of urban fantasy and paranormal romance even, and it was a lot of fun. And at one point I was like, oh, hey, I can do this. Let me try. And I, of course I tried, and I was like, oh wow, this is a lot harder than I thought. And my husband actually really liked Repairman Jack by F. Paul Wilson. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, that guy who writes Repairman Jack does this boot camp, and you know, it's like a 3-day workshop, and you should go, and blah blah blah. And it's called Borderlands Boot Camp, and it's run by Tom Monteleone, and then F. Paul Wilson and Doug Winter and Ginger Buchanan are usually instructors there. And so I went, and I was, you know, bringing this little like urban fantasy tame thing, and you know, it was a room full of horror writers because Tom, Paul, and Doug are all like major players in the horror writing community. And so I just like, it was a total networking thing. I met all these people, and they were like, hey, you know, you should write horror, try, you know, submit to this anthology. And I was like, horror, huh? And when I sat down and I tried a story and I was like, this is fun. It was so much fun to write like that and to, create a world like that and to create emotions like that, because I don't always, sometimes you kind of learn that, like, oh, the anger and the fear and the whatever are bad and you kind of shove them down. But when you're writing a story, it just allows you to just do it in a really safe space. And it's a lot of fun. So that was kind of the beginning of it for me. And then it just kind of, went from there. One thing led to another, more events, more conventions, more people to meet, more places to sub to. And now here I am, the vice president of the Horror Writers Association. So it's been, if you had asked me 20 years ago, is this where you think you'd be? I would have laughed. I would have, but it's been awesome. Like, I wouldn't change a thing.
So on February 25th, about a week after this episode airs, we are doing an event with in partnership with you. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about what to expect?
Oh, we have some great folks lined up to come and read with you. Well, I'm going to say that because the two of us are reading, of course.
Yes, of course, and
modest, but. But we also have April Gray, who's another member of our HWA group from New York. And we have Linda Addison, who is one of the Lifetime Achievement Award winners from HWA. And she is a poet and a writer and a dynamite gal. She's been doing this for a long time and she is just awesome. Just listening to the sound of her voice reading is so, so thrilling to me and exciting. And she's really fun as well. So we're going to have some readings, a little conversation. We have some recommendations of books by women that we really all recommend, because that's the whole point of Women in Horror Month, is to raise the awareness of different women and their contributions to the horror community. And in this one, we're focusing on writing, the writing and reading and such. So
many really good horror novels written by women and have been, for a time to come. And it's so interesting, Megan, that you mentioned, the isolation of being home with children. In a way, I mean, that, not to say that it is, for everybody, but in a way, that's like a time that's, I think, ripe with uncertainty and a good time to write horror.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I agree. I mean, first of all, you're spending a lot of time. I mean, yes, there are other beings in the house with you, but they're either they're infants or they're very young and you can't, communicate with them the same way you would an adult. So it feels like you're alone a lot of the time. So you're spending a lot of time maybe in your own head.
Yeah.
Asking a lot of questions that you normally wouldn't be asking yourself. And and then also, pregnancy is rife with all kinds of opportunities for horror, and when you become a parent, I mean, your set of worries just increases exponentially. So there's that,
of course,
of horror too. And I don't think that's just for women. I mean, men feel that too. So it's a lot. It is a lot. And I think that it's probably not a mistake that that's when I started really.
I was about to say that was probably some sort of serendipitous moment that had found you at that time.
Totally.
Yeah. And, I had much the same experience. I was home with my kids because I used to work as a consultant for IBM, and I worked 10 to 12 hours a day in a 2 or 3 hour commute. And you really can't do that. Both parents can't do that if you have kids. It's just not fair for the kids, in my opinion. So I was home with the kids and I was doing every single volunteer thing you could do. And I started writing about 6-7 years ago. And that was a great way to get my head engaged with the world and such like that. And I wrote a little short story based on a prompt. And the prompt just said, you have to include the word that has to cool first. And I thought, okay, what has to cool? Well, why does it have to cool? What's going to happen then? And that's the basis of the story that I'm going to read next week, but the other part of my experience towards the end of my time, when I was just an at-home person, I was also a caregiver for both of my parents through Alzheimer's. And there's so many things. It's very much like child rearing, but there's so many things that go through your head as you're doing all the things you must do to care for children, to care for adults in difficult circumstances. And so many things come to light that you think about. And I have found horror to be a fascinating way to relieve some of that. One of the most recent stories I wrote talks about a caregiver for someone who's in a difficult situation, and can the person keep doing that or not? And so, you know, horror is a fascinating way to look at different life circumstances through a certain lens and then decide if you like the result that comes out or not. Mm-hmm. And it frees a lot of the inner angst and such like that. So I think it's a fascinating field, really is.
Would you like to share some of your favorite horror novels and horror writers, women or otherwise?
Sure. I mean, we've been kind of gathering our book covers for the event, but I'm going to, I'll use that as my jumping off point. I think Alma Katsu is one of the, she's a current writer, and she has written The Hunger and The Deep. The Deep, I think, came out in 2020. And these are, it's historical fiction, historical horror. The Hunger is about the Donner Party, and The Deep is about the Titanic. And it just has this really wonderful way of weaving, like she did all this research and it's all very accurate, but she just adds this supernatural element to it that gives, just enough creep to it where you're like, ooh, because adding that to like the Donner Party, I mean, the Donner Party is like crazy enough as it is, but she adds this other element to it where you're like, wow, maybe that's what really happened, even though probably not. But so she's kind of on the top of my list right now. Marianne Halbert is another one who she recently had a collection called Cold Comforts. And it's a fiction collection, and it's quiet horror. And that's how she describes it too. And it's so subtle, but it's just, she gets you at the end. Like every single time you're like, oh man, why did she go there? And how did she know to do that? And it's really, you don't see it coming, but it's so beautifully done and so subtle that it's just, she's amazing. And if I may go back to the late 1800s, I would put in for Charlotte Riddell.
Ooh.
She was an Irish writer. She wrote a lot of novels that were kind of social commentary about Victorian England and economics and social structure and that. But she did a whole bunch of ghost stories as well. And they're fantastic. They're like, she's really good at dialogue, and she uses white space well. Like, I find a lot of writers at that time, the paragraphs are unending, sentences are like a page long, and they just go kind of drone on and on. But she just kind of like jumps right into the action with the dialogue. And again, very old school, but she I would recommend her as well.
Well, one of the books I've really enjoyed recently is by Caitlin Starling. It's called The Luminous Dead, and it's a really cool thing. It's a person and another person who's on a speaker. It takes place almost all underground, and it's just fascinating what she's able to do with just those two characters going through the whole thing. It was riveting. It had me on the edge of my seat, and of course going into a cave is scary for a lot of people anyway. That's one that I really loved. And one of my other favorite writers is Lee Murray from New Zealand. I first read her Into the Mist, Into the Ashes. She had a series, really very cool ones that took place, all of them in New Zealand. And she's got a most recent series as well. The third book just came out, Blood of the Sun, that she's written with Dan Raybarts, which is very, very cool and exciting. And she does a great job of using the location where she is writing as part of the story. And I find that really fascinating, really cool. So that's pretty neat. She's just read with us recently with our Galactic Terrors reading series that we do with the HWA New York on the second Thursday of every month. So Lee was one of our readers just recently.
So tell us that and or where people who are interested in those readings can find them, because as you mentioned before, Zoom has sort of opened things up. We'd love to go back to in-person events but there's more reach now. So where could people see those?
Yes, well, that's exactly how it started. We used to do readings every other month, pretty much in New York City, from our HWA New York chapter. And when, of course, we couldn't do that, we went online. And so we have a StreamYard production that we do. Jim Chambers and I co-host it. It's on the second Thursday of every month at 8 o'clock Eastern time. You can look at hwanewyork.org for information about it. That's the easiest thing to say out loud on a site. But we also have our Galactic Terrors YouTube channel, and all of our things are recorded and they're broadcast to YouTube and to Facebook Live, and we have them archived on the Galactic Terrors YouTube channel. So Megan is actually reading for us this coming, well, actually, by the time this airs, she will have read for us this month as part of our Women in Horrors group, but the recording will be available on the YouTube channel. So yeah, it's very fun because not only do we just do the readings, but we also chat for a few minutes with each author afterwards, which I think makes it kind of special. You know, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I've been able to catch quite a few of those, and they're really, it's really entertaining. It's also kind of just nice to see people that I usually see a couple times a year. It's just great to see people's faces and hear their voices too. So it's a nice way to connect in the way that we can right now.
Yeah.
So before we go, do you think that this time period is going to play into horror in the future?
That's an interesting question. You know, I think a lot of the features of this time are things that have been common in horror in the past, you know, isolation, aloneness, fear, worry, and zombie apocalypse is something that comes to mind.
That was a huge trend for, I think, like 10 years ago, yeah, when The Walking Dead got really, really big, everybody was talking about zombie apocalypse stories.
Yeah. And what I hear right now between publishers and agents and editors and such who do traditional publishing is they maybe don't want to be hearing those stories right now. They have enough of that in their mind. But going forward, I don't think we can ignore the fact that this has happened to the world. I think this is something that's going to play at least some part in fiction and other writings. What do you think, Megan?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know, I don't know if like publishers will get sick of it, like you said, you know, and say no thanks. But I don't know how this couldn't, like, this has affected literally everybody on the planet. So I don't know how we could get away without commenting on it in one way or another. And I feel like there are, you know, you may not talk about it as a pandemic, but there are so many things that have come from this, like you said, the isolation. But I mean, the spread of the disease is really huge, but I think, you know, politically, you know, there are ways that it, you know, things have been coming out that are scary and you could approach them differently from a pandemic, but it really is kind of, you know, one of the reasons where things are the way they are, I think. I don't know. I'm really curious to see how it plays out, because I'm sure it will. I'm sure it's going to play out somehow.
And for myself right now, I'm sort of avoiding the topic entirely because I've been writing stuff, more historical stuff. I wrote a cryptid a novella that takes place in 1969 and 1939, and I'm writing a post-apocalyptic, feminist-centered horror tale, which is sometime in the near future. So clearly something has happened, but that's not what the story is about. You know, it's afterwards that we're looking at, so.
I think that both of those sound awesome, and I would love to read them.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So once again, I want to thank both of you. We are so, so excited for the upcoming event on February 25th. So listeners, if you enjoyed hearing this, if you like horror, if any of this appeals to you or anybody you know, please check out the Galactic Terrors YouTube page and join us at Syosset Public Library on February 25th at 7:30 Eastern Time. There will be information attached to this podcast interview about when that's going to be going up with a Zoom link, so you can participate in a live Q&A. And it'll also be co-streamed on our Facebook Live if you miss it. So, but you don't want to miss it. You want to come and you want to talk to Megan and Carol and April and Linda. So be there.
It's going to be fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.